Richo, Brownie and Hummer back for round three. I'm a little flat because I'm worried that COVID is rearing its ugly head. It's just starting to get a little bit more. 10 more cases there in Brisbane today. The Lions are stuck. The Brisbane Broncos are going to be stuck down here. Byron Bay, there's a strip of trading. It is just starting to get. We thought at the end of last year we were done with all this rubbish. It just might be back. But Brownie.
I'm not flat, hum.
Brownie's not flat at all.
He's up and about, no.
I couldn't be happy. And it's okay. I'm sometimes happy with myself, but I'm extra happy with myself at the moment. Because crypto, I told you 2 weeks ago we started a new segment and I was going to give you a tip on this program. I gave you the tip of FET, which is the symbol for fetch.
And we don't know what this coin does, though, do we?
It does a lot of things, hum. It goes up. It goes up. That's the only thing you need to know what it does.
So what? How long?
62 cents I gave it. 62 US cents I gave it to you at. It is now, as of this morning, 81.5 cents. So by my math, in 2 weeks, that's 30%.
We're that holding. Is substantially
we're holding because I think it gets to a dollar, and when it gets to a dollar, it breaks right through.
How much have you got in there?
It's enough. I'm just trying to build a fund for the kids' schooling because it's expensive. Have you seen these fees? I don't know why they sent you because you are not.
Because they didn't have to pay.
Mine
was for free.
What do you mean?
Well, because when you get a scholarship, you don't have
apparently
to pay.
Apparently, had 18 different scholarships.
No, he had a scholarship.
Free. But any scholarship.
I'm with you, though, now. If you don't at least put your ashtray coins into it, you're silly.
That, I can't believe because
there's a future for
back
crypto.
Last year,
he is risk averse too.
He is like there was no Laguna Keys.
He doesn't buy Laguna. He's not chasing the last of the day at Perth at Ascot.
No, you are very astute.
No, I just think if you've got any little bit of spare money, that you should at least have a little dabble in crypto.
On Binance, we should try and get Binance on sponsors. Hey, speaking of,
Hummer did buy at the last top.
He
I did. Think
at the he, very,
he, I, bought, I think he bought Neo at 170, and it dropped.
I was the only
dropped
person.
To a dollar.
If you remember when crypto first like hit the mainstream and everyone's making money on it, I was the only person on the planet that lost money. I bought Bitcoin Cash at the very very high.
Was
sold
plenty,
it.
Plenty of
bought
people
Neo
lost money.
At the very top.
Plenty of people lost money.
So I lost it all. Hey, Richo,
yes.
The Blues. They're thereabouts. They're just not close. They're not there, though.
Yeah, look, they're 0-2, but, you know, they showed some signs against Richmond, I thought. I mean, they were level with Richmond halfway through the last quarter. They weren't horrible against Collingwood. They were able to draw their way back into the game a little bit. But, they've got to win one this week. They've got to win this week.
They were horrible against Collingwood. I've been bullish on the Blues.
They were horrible.
And I thought the Blues were going to be good this year. I was impressed with them. I was impressed the way they moved the ball against the Tigers in round one. But last week, they were just awful.
There's one concern for them, I reckon. Their best player is Patrick Cripps. He is a superstar. I just think it's taking him a little while to adapt to the new open game plan because he's a clearance player, he's a contested possession player, and I just think at the moment he's getting a bit lost
people
with the
a bit
open game.
Quick to jump on Paddy Cripps though.
No, like, he'll adjust.
Halfway through the second quarter against the Tigers in round one, he had 17 disposals. Yeah. They sent him forward. He looked a bit tight, I think, in the second game.
But you agree
Kane
he's just
Corns
struggling
on the Sunday
with the style
footy show.
A
was sitting
bit.
There going, you wouldn't pay him overs. You know, it's ridiculous.
No, shock.
He's not going to be a great player. Paddy Cripps will figure it out. I think he's a great player. Yes, he's not having as many clearances, but the game will slow down a certain extent. I mean, we are in March and it is quick. The game is lightning
he'll
quick at the moment
out.
And he'll be fine.
Did you find that back when you were playing that even back it was footy was much quicker at the start of the year?
Yeah.
And then what happens? Why does it slow down?
Well,
tactics change.
Well, the weather's still nice. I mean, it's going to be 31 this Saturday. The grounds are always pristine now, but the grounds...
And you don't have compounding games in your legs.
You don't have the injuries.
Oh, so do you slow down as players as the season goes?
Well, I think
you're
knackered
by the end.
Well, you do, because some weeks you're struggling to get up for a game.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had that down in the local...
down in the fourths.
Before we head on, of course, TaylorMade, our fantastic sponsors. Now, we've been trying to get on to TaylorMade for a year. And then we finally get booked in. Now, this is a state-of-the-art studio that's booked out for months. Yep. Our man Aaron slots us in at the at prime time, 5 o'clock on a Tuesday.
After they close.
So
to accommodate us.
Now, what does our man Richo do on Monday afternoon?
Well, mate, I didn't check with the wife. And when you have kids, Hummer, you know, you've got to feed them and bath them and put them to bed. And the wife was out. I can't just leave my kids at home on their own,
Why
can I?
Why don't you bring them to the fitting studio?
So last week when I was late and I said, actually I had to take my kids to school and you were up in arms.
You told me the morning of. I gave you guys 24 hours notice. Don't even try.
More to that, why do you get here at 8:30 and ring me? I'm here. I'm like, we're not here till 9, mate.
Because the show's meant to start at 9:40. It's meant to start at 9.
But we didn't start till 9:40. And you're ringing me at 8:30.
You should be going, here on time.
Are you here? I'm downstairs. No. I'm not here.
Get here on time next week.
GWS, speaking of another side in some trouble. Now, they're in real trouble. Yeah. Talk about the Ferrari and the lemon and all that crap they always talk about. They're no good.
I couldn't believe the game against Freo. I turned it on in the third quarter and I thought, this was a game I thought the Giants would get up and win. I mean, Freo got injuries. They didn't look great in round one against Melbourne. And you look at the talent through their midfield, it's still there. And you just can't work out why they're not going.
They were plus 30 in contested footy against the Saints. And they had a shot with Harry Himmelberg to put them up 17 up, 8 minutes to go. So I thought, yeah, that was a pretty good effort against the Saints. They lost that game. But Toby Green's been okay. But where's Josh Kelly? He was a million-dollar player that they wanted to keep. And all of a sudden, they don't have everything running their way. Josh Kelly's not getting on the end of it. He's not being able to win his own footy.
Do you reckon he knows that he's not going to be there? He's already made his mind up.
But what sort of footballer is that? That you don't know, you're not going to be there,
his mindset.
And all of a sudden you don't put in
the
extra yards.
Doing himself out of cash as well.
But it's not a good sign for a guy as a footballer if he's playing that sort of football because he knows he's out the door in round two.
But it might be affecting him in some way when he gets out there because he sort of knows that he's not going to be.
Would you want to play for GWS? If GWS was around when you were moving clubs and you certainly were just going to the highest bidder, would you have gone to GWS? Out at that, it's out in not a nice area of Sydney. You don't have a big supporter base.
Ah, they all live around Balmain. It's beautiful around there.
Yeah, they just travel out there, huh? They'll be
but
fine.
But Nath would have gone there for the coin, yes.
If they had come in a couple of years early, it might have been perfect. But they are struggling.
They are. Now, one of the there's a lot of highlights at the start of the year, but one of them is that you do get to see some young talent. You get to see either the top draft picks, and then there's a few smokers that have come through the draft pick. You get to see some young talent on show. I want to put the question to you, gentlemen. Which young star, say Richmond, or you're both picking a side for Richmond, if you could have one, you get to take one of the young guns that's running around at the moment in your side at Richmond and for Brownie, whoever you support, who would you take?
Well, I would always take the taller player, the key position player, because they are harder to find, key position players. And if you look at, I know it's only two games in, but you can see why that Logan McDonald from Perth was so highly rated. The Swans got him at pick four. I don't know how he got to pick four. I don't know how North Melbourne didn't take him. That's extraordinary. I think he's the one. He's 196 centimetres. Yep. He moves well. And how exciting are the Swans? But he'd be the one for me.
I tend to agree. You'd take a big man over a small man. But for me, Zach Butters at the moment, I watched his game on the weekend. He's a third-year player, still a young gun. Zach Butters, he hasn't played much footy yet. 39 games. 39 games. Do you qualify as a young gun for 39 games?
Well, he could not win the Rising Star, put it that way.
Is he better than Rosie at the moment, isn't he?
I think he is. Yeah. And the word coming out of Port Adelaide, and these aren't my words, but I'm going to go with them because I'm happy with them, that he could be as good as Gary Ablett Jr. in time. That's how much they rate him internally.
Can you write that down?
Port Adelaide.
I'm going to credit that to Nathan.
15 years ago, I said Aaron Finch would play Test cricket, and he wrote it down and laughed at me, mocked me in a bar. Every year on the date that it came up. I think I said January 14th.
31st of March, 2021.
Aaron Finch played Test cricket.
No,
Zach Butters.
It's going to be better than Gary Ablett.
No, I didn't say better. I said in the same mould as Gary Ablett, as good as Gary Ablett.
Okay, offer it. That's down, Hum. I'm going to note that and put that away.
It's my man, Butters.
Hey, speaking at the top of the COVID situation, which is pretty worrying and what's happening, extraordinary circumstances last Friday night, wasn't it? Because at the Cattery, you had the Brisbane team that came down. They were given an exemption. But an exemption wasn't given to the guys in the box, Luke Hodge and Wayne Carey, or the crowd. Now, I'm told that when it first unfolded, Luke Hodge had to leave immediately, but he tried. You know, he called the director of sport at Channel 7 and whatnot just to.
I think
try
he was out
on
the ground at the time.
Right.
So he made sure. Do I have to leave? Whereas I'm told Wayne Carey just didn't make a single phone call. Heard it as soon as he heard the news, just walked out. Was just happy just to be out of there.
Well, Hodgie went first, and then Duck realised that he'd been in Brisbane a few weeks before and just said, all right, I'm done.
Duck was doing the numbers and actually hoped that he had been inside that, because we're down in Geelong. He just wanted to get home.
He wanted to get home and get out.
And he certainly... He was a bit off Sunday, I must admit.
Was he? Yeah. I think he enjoyed the weekend off, Duck.
Gill has come out today and said that to expect future fixture changes. Yeah. Is there any word on your at the media side of things of what's happening?
Well, this is the reason now, and people have been critical of both Fox and Channel 7 for not travelling to the interstate games.
I am one of them.
Okay, but can you see why now? Can you see why they would?
Well, like, it's very convenient, but if anyone from Fox set comes and tells me, the reason we haven't been doing it already was because of this, they laugh.
In 2 weeks, Friday night footy, Richmond played Port Adelaide.
Yeah.
Triple M, Friday night team, we're going to Adelaide.
You're going over.
Yeah. Good. And that's the way it should be.
That's the way it should be.
If I was running the AFL,
you should be doing it.
And blokes like Hutchie and stuff need to get a grip.
Well, you mightn't be.
And I love Hutch.
No, you don't.
I do love Hutch.
No.
I ran into him last week. We had a great chat.
You wanted a job there and he didn't give you one.
This is why they're not travelling, because you can't get caught up in these situations.
They're not travelling because of the cash, and it's concerning. And I had a tweet go viral on the last week alluding
to
that.
You had a tweet go viral, did you?
20 likes here. A
couple of his mates.
Yeah.
No, I had about 65 likes, alluding that there is no excuse. Now, I understand that this, you know...
COVID is a fair excuse.
But that's not why Fox weren't doing it, or Triple Seven, because it's embarrassing, and I hope, you know, we get back to a world where...
If you're going to a COVID-free state, you should be able to go. So if the game's at the SCG, the game's in Adelaide, you should
possibly
be traveling.
But that can change in the space of a few hours, Nate. You're up there and then there's a heap of cases announced. You've got to get straight back out.
Mm. This thing was bubbling for at least 4 or 5 days in Brisbane, wasn't it?
Speaking of the game, the Friday night game, Chris Scott. I obviously can say this. You blokes probably can't. But I mean, as a footy punter that doesn't like Geelong, I'll say this: Chris Scott is a wanker.
What?
I'm saying it. Yep.
I can't be any.
No,
part of
course.
That.
I like Chris Scott. I'm not suggesting you have to be. I'm saying, as a footy fan, it's not personality.
Theatre. I love it when they cross to him in the box and he's all over the shop and he's banging the table and he's barracking. I love his hair at the moment. I think he's looking good at the moment.
Well, do you know who doesn't love his hair? And this came from Robbo. Allegedly, the reason that he got so angry and he had this look on his eyes is because the Brisbane players were getting into him about his hair.
People always try to see
him between.
Is that
not the most narcissistic thing?
He should be happy with his hair. His hair's looking great.
I think to see a little bit of theatre out on the ground, everyone loved it and everyone is still talking about it, you know, a week later.
Yep. The only thing he had to be careful of is that there are competitions at a lower level where, you know, he's mimicked. And if a coach, you can't stop a brawl in suburban footy once it starts. In AFL, you definitely can, because there's a push and shove. And let's be honest, there's no real punches thrown, is there? And then you get separated by the umpires. There might be a fine for a melee. Suburban footy, genuine punches thrown, crowd gets involved. That's the only issue. I love the theatre of it. And I'm a Chris Scott fan, so I take offence to the fact that you called him a wanker.
I'll tell you there's been some funny incidents over the years.
Were you ever involved in any?
No. I remember one day at the G, Danny Frawley was being abused by a supporter in front of the old members' coaches' boxes. And remember they had the glass door
Famous footage, yes.
And Spud, halfway through a quarter, leant out of the box and had a crack at the guy in the crowd and then got back in. But there was another famous one out at Waverley. Remember Tony Jewell that coached Richmond? And Percy Jones that coached Carlton. Now, over the off season, Carlton had poached Richmond's psychologist, Rudy Webster, who was also a psychologist of the West Indies cricket team at one point. And TJ was filthy. And as they were walking out onto the ground at quarter time, Percy made a little comment about Rudy coming over to Carlton. They actually threw punches.
On the ground.
Punches, awful punches too.
Awful punches on the ground at Waverley.
Mel Brown snapping the microphone, it's amazing.
That's right.
And that led to a fight that he had, and then a good story the next week when he was banned.
Well, he got banned. So after the fight that he had and the snapping the microphone, the Waffle banned him from going out onto the ground to talk to his players at quarter time and three quarter time. So Brownie being Brownie and wanting to stick it up the Waffle, he went and hired a cherry picker. Right? And the cherry picker, they brought it right up to the fence. He got in the cherry picker and they put it out onto the ground and he spoke to his players.
We're in Ireland once, right? And this is a different coaching thing. Oh. So we're going home. It would have been about 3 a.m. in the morning. And I was with Mark Rusciuto and Simon Goodwin, who were playing. And we got in one of those in Dublin. Yeah. There's a lot of horse drawn carriages.
Yeah.
So we're in a carriage getting home. And all of a sudden, we see Dermot Brereton walking up the street. He's got this massive big shearling jacket on that's gone all the way down. He's got these big black... He's our coach, mind you, by the way. Yeah. He's got a can of Kilkenny in one hand and he's also got a Durry in the other one. And he ran next to the whole thing all the way home. It would have been 3Ks and he ran with the Durry and the beer can next to us in the horse-drawn carriage.
Dermy did.
Yeah.
I punched us in Kevin's dad once.
You've gone rogue today.
What's wrong with you?
You punched
someone.
At
three-quarter time, we had a fracas. It was in the thirds.
Well, you were a player.
I was playing year 11. I was playing.
Year 11?
No, I was, it was in year 11.
Year 11.
And so Kevin's dad didn't take too kindly to some treatment I was dishing out in the second
you know
quarter.
Who you need to go and see? Who? You need to go and see Rudy Webster, psychologist.
Hey, Dangerfield. Another man that I don't take too, I'm not a big fan of.
You're potting a few today.
I am. I'm a bit fired up
today. I like Dangerfield too.
How can you not like Danger?
We discussed it last week.
The theatre that he goes on with is great too.
But what about how, again, I said last week, when he's lying on the ground without an injury, he should be part.
Do you want robots out there?
I don't want robots out there. I just don't want narcissistic, arrogant Geelong pigs. How was he allowed to play in a VFL game?
It's always been a rule. People are up in arms about this.
You can't get suspended then play a VFL game.
But it's always been a rule.
No, it's not.
But, Nate, can you just point out to him it wasn't a VFL game? The VFL season hasn't even started.
It's a scratch match.
It was basically a training intra-club game.
It's a scratch match, you idiot.
You should do your facts if you're going to pot someone.
So you're okay with it now, are you?
Oh, well, I didn't know it was a scratch yet. Has the VFL not started?
The VFL hasn't even started. Well,
okay, I admit that that's probably a bit of a storm in a teacup. All right, we'll skip through to the next one. All right, who's going to win? We've got to mark it up this week. I love it. Who will win a game first? North Melbourne, $2.30. Essendon, $1.60. Two sides that could. Well, no, you can't have two sides.
I think the Bombers. Defeated. The Bombers, they almost... Well, they're seven goals up against Hawthorn, the Bombers.
Gee, they've got some injuries, though.
They come up against the best side in the competition, I think, at the moment in Port Adelaide. And they were beaten soundly. Port jumped away. So I thought they were okay in the second half. The Bombers, they competed. But
I think the Bombers have still got a bit more top-end talent than North Melbourne. North are really in a complete rebuild, I would say. So I think I'd be taking the Bombers there.
$1.60 the Bombers, North $2.30. Now, Tex kicked another bag
got 11
on the weekend.
How good is it to see a few goals being kicked?
It's magnificent. As we said last week, key forwards have just were made redundant.
Four from rundown tackles. Yeah. So you'd only have seven if you didn't tackle.
I don't think I've had four tackles in a game ever.
I don't think I've had a tackle
You had seasons that didn't go without four tackles.
You got lucky with a few.
Are we going to see, at the moment, Tex is on track for 100 goals? As we talk right now, he's on track for 100 goals.
We won't see 100. I'm wrapped. No. See, Jack Riewoldt's kicked 8 goals. In his whole career, he's never had 8 goals at round 2 in his whole career, and he's won 3 Colemans. Oh, I wouldn't say 100, I reckon 80's possible, Nate, this year. What do you think?
I still think Lance Franklin will win the Coleman.
Do you?
Yeah. I think if he plays enough games, he's a natural goal kicker.
But I don't
kicked
think
three last week from limited possessions.
He mightn't even play this week, though, because they've got a short turnaround, the Swannies, next week.
I hope he does. That'd be disappointing if he plays. Yeah. I think it's worse if he plays one game, rests, and then comes back.
Yeah, I agree.
Just keep the big boy out there.
Hey, trialling a new concept this week. Now, full disclosure, because this is quite clever. So it didn't come from the three of us. It came from our producer, Ollie. So if it doesn't work, don't blame me.
I like this concept. I'm very enthusiastic for it. But one thing Ollie's got to realise is do us the talent. Do we have the ability to execute.
The artwork to pull it off. Yeah. Now, to put into context, this is a podcast, so you can't see Ollie, but he is from Manchester.
And very
they are
Manchester.
Mad as cut snakes in Manchester. He's got this big beard. He's bald on top. He looks tough, but I don't think he is.
He looks do you remember Sons of Anarchy?
Yeah.
Yes.
He looks like the main Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Like a softer version.
Yeah, the English version. Like a grimy Manchester version. Hey, but it's called AFL Club Song Honesty Power Ranking. So basically, the concept is like this. AFL clubs, obviously, they've got theme songs, right? And they're all talking about how, you know, they've all got different phrases essentially describing that, you know, how tough they are, how good they are.
You're pumping yourself up.
What we want to do is have a power rankings that aligns the actual lyrics to how the performance of the club was in that week. So we're going to kick things off with the Bombers. Now, the Bombers are at the bottom. Now, if you are watching, of course, you can see the ladder. If you are just listening, we're going to talk about the Bombers at the moment, who we've got at rank number 18 on the power rankings.
Yep.
Because, Brownie, what are the words of the Bombers song?
See the Bombers fly up, up to win the premiership flag.
And, well,
a long way off that, the Bombers, aren't they?
So they are at number 18. Well, at the top, we've got Port Adelaide and we've got Richmond. Now, what's the line from the Richmond theme song?
Well, risking head and shin.
Now, was there much risking of head and shin?
No, it was an uncontested game.
It was like at halftime they shook hands and said, all right, Rich, let's just take a 35-point win. Hawks, you're happy. Richmond, you're happy. Done. Let's do it.
There was a lot of uncontested footy.
So that's what we're going to do.
I would have... And I know they've won a game, but Collingwood a lot lower than what they are.
Yeah. Oh,
when you talk about side by side, we stick together. I don't think anything of their preseason and Treloar going out the door.
Yeah.
I think they've been divided.
The other one who we had at 17th there is the Giants. There's not a big sound coming out of the rest of the moment.
That's how it works. So each week,
it's not even
we're going to analyse the lyrics.
It was good, though.
We're going to analyse the results, and we will have some power rankings. But
we'll have a look at some other lyrics each week. Yeah.
We've got the Nuffy Jar next. Didn't have to search far for the Nuffy Jar this week.
Because we've got our very own Nuffy sitting with us every week.
We've got him, man. Like, just makes it...
Twitter's answer to Rowan Connolly you are at the moment. Like, you are just...
What have I done this time?
Well, have a look. Now, you got a tweet. I saw this pop up. You got a tweet from Darren Lehman.
What have I done?
Well done at AFL on the rule changes. Have loved the first couple of rounds at Fox Footy Live at Matt Richo. Hope you rate them also. Normal quarters and more goals.
Absolutely, boss.
Now, why? Firstly, why have you just been randomly tagged? He's tagged the Footy Club. He's tagged Fox Footy. He's tagged the AFL. Why have you just got this random tag?
I was sitting down having some lunch yesterday and. I saw the tweet come through from Boof, and I must admit, I love Boof. And
everybody loves
Boof. He's mates with a mate of ours, Stuart Wigney, who he played footy with, so I know Boof, I guess, a little bit. And I must admit, when I saw it, I did go, why have I been picked out to be... But I agree.
So it was just a courtesy respond, was it?
Well, no. Because
all Richo's done is gone with absolutely Boof, and then the thumbs up.
No. Boof's asking.
You couldn't have given him any less.
I thought it was disrespectful to answer it that way.
That was less than disrespectful.
I think you should have given him a little bit more, like even threw a question back at him.
No,
like,
that was less.
What
than
do
not,
you think?
That was less than not responding at all.
No,
it's just like when someone sends you a text message and you like have a laughing emoji because you really can't be.
I reckon sometimes I wanted to be categoric that I was agreeing with Boof.
Oh,
I agree that we love more goals. We're loving the footy. No, absolutely.
I think you're fame hungry at the moment. It's extraordinary. If you weren't married, you'd be unbelievable on maths, wouldn't he? He'd be extraordinary.
You could have given it a bit more than that. Like that, replying like that is less than not replying.
At least I don't jump on here with a rundown at the start of the show and it's not even on the rundown and pump up my own little crypto tips.
Not about me, mate. I don't put that stuff out on Twitter.
Okay. I'm just responding to one of the greats.
And it was disrespectful.
Australian sport.
Hey, Richo Brownie Hummer Award is next.
I like that.
I'm taken aback by you on Twitter. It's just... Anyway, Richo, Brownie and Hummer, of course. This year we've changed it. No longer the trumpet award that no one understood. It works like this. Because everyone loves Richo, if you're best on, you get the 3 votes. People like Brownie.
Well, Boof loves
gets 2. Hummer, you're getting 1 vote. And then for the worst on,
Boof's
Hummer 3.
Boof's not tagging you in anything.
Nah, well, Buff wouldn't know who I am. But if he did, I'd give him more than just a thumbs up emoji. Absolutely.
You like Buff, you hate everyone else.
I like Buff.
Yeah,
everyone likes Buff. He has no association with the Geelong Footy Club. But have a look at the scoreboard. For the best at the moment, I think we've got Tex Walker on three. He could feature again. Bruce McAvaney on three. John Longmire on three. And making their mark on three. While for the worst, we've got the Cats on 6 votes, Collingwood on 5, Brisbane on 3, Tom Brady, you probably would imagine, won't feature again, 3, and AFL on 2. Richo, your Richos, right. Please.
Okay, so I gave 1 vote, and I should have given... I'm going to apologise to Darcy Moore because he's been outstanding, but I've given 1 to Tex Walker.
Oh.
He's kicked another 6 goals in a losing team, laid 4 tackles inside 50, and I just like... the way he's playing. I love his enthusiasm. And he's answered a lot of critics who wrote him off last year. Well done, Tex. 1 vote. 36 years of age, David Mundy.
I looked at him.
He had 35 touches on Sunday night against the Giants. He's a machine, Dave Mundy. He just lopes along, but he just gets the footy. He's a superstar. And Marcus Bontempelli, his game against the Eagles on Sunday, 30 touches, 3 goals. But it was just the timing of everything he did was outstanding. The Bont got my 3.
I gave 1 vote to a man I've been critical of in the past and who I don't think has delivered yet, but Eric Hipwood down at the Cattery the other night. I thought his work rate, he was jumping into packs, he kicked big goals, missed a couple of easy ones, but that was the best game I've seen Eric Hipwood play. 2 votes to my man Zach Butters, 36 disposals, the next Gary Ablett Jr., not far away that Brownlow medal now, and I agree with you, 3 votes, Marcus Bontempelli. Kick that goal to put them back in front late, and that is just stuff. I mean, he's not the best set shot a goal too. No. So to nail that, it was brilliant.
I was dealing with a photographer during the week who had previously worked with Bont the day before and said the nicest person he'd ever worked with.
He's the most...
a 30-year career.
Yeah, he's the most impressive guy you could meet, Marcus Bontempelli.
All right, your hummers. Now, I'm pretty sure there's one person that's getting 6.
I gave 1 vote to Gary Rowan because I don't think we want to see any of that in football. Behind the play, you know, 100 metres off the ball, self-explanatory. 2 to... Now, I've had many nights like this. Sometimes you go out there and play a game of footy and everything you do just turns to poo, all right? And unfortunately, Lachie Plowman had one of them nights the other night. And I had many of them myself. You actually, the harder you try, the worse you get. It was one of those nights. And 3 to the Giants. They're in a lot of trouble at the moment.
So the umpire who gave the worst decision, or gave the worst non-decision in the history of the AFL,
I don't
AFL,
like to pick on umpires, mate. Everyone makes mistakes.
Okay. I gave 1 vote to Lachie Plowman, and yes, everybody's had a bad game, Lachie, but...
Oh, my God.
It was a shocker. And I felt for it. Nothing he did...
Don't try and cover it.
Nothing he did... he had 8 kicked on him, and that only had 7 and a half. I did feel bad for him. Like, you're playing on one of the best forwards in the competition, and he didn't have a lot of help from his midfield. He was left one out.
We've all had one.
Yeah. 2 votes to the umpire.
Good. I mean,
the umpiring department. Yeah, they come out and said, we got it wrong, but, you know, a bit too late because Brisbane now have lost a game, and if they miss the finals because of that game, they're coming down here to play Collingwood. It's timing. Timing's everything, Richard, as we know. And 3 votes to Gary Rowan. I thought what he did was much worse than what Patrick Dangerfield did the week before. He only got 2 weeks, I think. Patrick Dangerfield got 3. I'd flip them around the other way. I'd probably even give Gary Rowan 4 if I was in charge of that. That is
could have been nasty.
Haymaker. It's had all the hallmarks of accidental, but, I mean, Andrew Gaff, we saw what happened to Brayshaw, and that wasn't even as bad as Gary Rowan's. That was like a shrug-off elbow, whereas that swinging arm, where Gary Rowan actually swung the arm, and he was from behind. It was just, it was a bad look and something we never want in our game, and it should have been adjudicated harder.
Something that you both are both very prominent in the media. And something that we often get asked on our socials and whatnot is what happens behind the curtains? Because, you know, it's you're in a profession that very few people are involved in. Very few people will know how it unfolds. I want to know, when you get to the studio, you've got TV and you've got TV. Of course, no longer you've got the great Kick, the Saturday night game show, which got... which got unfortunately lost to COVID.
Could he actually pot any more people today, do you think? He's having cracks at little half-hour pre-game shows now.
That was funny.
Do you realise that? You know, that could have cost my daughters a feet, losing that.
The kick. Well, okay. Hey, I'm upset. Don't get me wrong. I found that we lost the kick to COVID, like that was the final straw. I was happy to lose. You know, I was happy to be left in my house for 23 hours a day. But don't take the kick.
Tell you what, Hump, you're making a lot of enemies today. Chris Scott, danger. You're having a crack at your co-host now.
But I want to know what's it like behind. Can you don't give away too many secrets. How are the people you work with?
I'll give you one. We've talked about Duck before, and I love Duck, and he's got a lot of swagger. He's got a lot of confidence, Duck, and so he should. He's the best player of all time. But if you're doing a Friday night game, you normally get 7:40 bounce. You normally have to be there at 5 o'clock for a production meeting. So you walk into the box at the MCG. I guarantee you, BT's already sitting there. He'll already have his call sheets all stuck out and he'll be checking his headset. He'll have the binoculars out.
Does BT have notes?
Does a heap of homework.
I called with him last week and there was a lot of notes on his pages. Yeah.
And then he'll have the binoculars out and he's always looking for something quirky to talk about or something a player's doing in the warm-up, how the umpire's, you know, bouncing the ball in the middle. He's just looking for anything.
Yeah.
You know, and then you'll have, you know, Luke Hodge will come in. He'll have some notes written down and some homework. Then Duck will swagger in, right? The Duck. He won't even have a pen. He doesn't bring anything. It's all up here for Duck. It's all up here.
So no, he will not sit down during the week and write a single thing.
Well,
down.
He might write some notes at home, and he must have a photographic memory because he doesn't bring anything to the ground.
On the two shows I do, so we've got the Sunday morning, Sunday footy show, and we have a meeting at 8:30 every Sunday morning. So we get there and we sit down. We're about 8:30 and Mitch Finlayson or Luca, who's the producer now, will go up. We'll get going, boys.
What happened to Mitchy?
Mitch, he's taken a step back. He's got some other roles that he's doing at the moment. So, and then TJ, every week, without fail, we'll go, where's Bill? And they go, oh, he's just running a bit late. And then Bill, without doubt, 8:40, probably 8:45.
What time's
8:30. He'll rock in because he comes from Geelong. He'll rock in. And the first thing he got this big grin on his face. He'll go, g'day, Smacks. And then he'll go, and you, TJ. I reckon he's had a big night most often. And that's how it starts. And then basically TJ just tries to bully most people around the table, including myself. And we probably have our best arguments pre-show, like the arguments we have pre-show don't go to air. And then Triple M's a bit of a different beast because Triple M, there's no rundown. There's no real vibe of what we're doing. We don't know who we're speaking to. We only speak to coaches or if it's a really good player. Yeah. But it's all about what's happened during the week to one of the people in the box. So last
it's all
week,
about you guys. You don't really talk about.
Well, basically,
it is very.
There are so many radio stations, right, that do footy analysis for an hour and a half, or an hour and 40 before the game. So we figure that, you know, if you want to listen to that, you can. Yeah. But if you want some entertainment, you come over to Triple M. So last week, I noticed that Mark Robinson had written an article that said, frustrated alleged constant criticism of the club in recent years, North Melbourne privately complained to the AFL about the work of a journalist. Didn't even name Damien Barrett. And so then Damien Barrett comes back. If certain powers that be at North Melbourne spend as much time focusing on the litany of problems with their own operations as they do this contents of this column, then their club wouldn't be as broken as what it is, and a certain reporter would actually have to find a real story. So that was the clip back. And so then that basically writes the first 45 minutes of our show. So we still don't have a rundown. We don't really have any idea who's going to speak about what. It's just a big pile on Damo because it's such an easy topic. And these things, they pop up so regularly when you're doing the media. I mean, there was one time where we found out that Das had done a fashion shoot with his whole family with Lululemon. Now, he had his whole family in Lululemon outfits. So it just writes itself, this stuff.
So basically you're saying the best shows are the ones you don't prepare for.
Exactly.
Easter weekend footy is upon us. It's a great time. I'm heading up to Bundalong with the family and the friends and watch some local footy. So I won't be taking in as much real footy as you blokes, but we've got some good games in the mix. Kicking things off Thursday night, the Pies and the Brisbane, of course. This was the fixture moved from round 22, I think, or 23, whatever it is. Now, fast forward till tomorrow. The Pies $1.80, Brisbane $2.05.
Did Brisbane look good in the, like, after quarter time? Yeah, it's just how much this whole week and not being at home, like, it would upset you. And does it upset your rhythm? Does it upset you? Like, sometimes you can be away from home for too long and you get lethargic.
They weren't expecting this.
They got used to it in the hub and you get back into some sort of normality. But you can, if you're in a hotel room for too long, get lethargic, and there is the chance that they are lethargic, but I still think they're good enough to beat Collingwood.
Yeah. Oh, if it was at the Gabba, I would have definitely tipped them to bounce back and win their first game of the season. I just think the Collingwood back half, you know, matches up well. You've got two 200-centimetre key forwards, Danaher and Hipwood. You've got two 200-centimetre key backs, Roughhead and Darcy Moore. Jeremy Howe intercepting. I think Collingwood can win. I liked them last week. They looked sharp again. Side bottom back, Taylor Adams was on fire. So I'm going to tip the Pies, but a close one.
I heard Collingwood people this week saying, we're back to 2018. We've got that hit-up game going. Don't get sucked in too much to that, because Carlton allowed to happen. Yeah. Carlton allowed you just free-flowing through the middle. They didn't have anybody trying to stop the lead-up mark. Yeah. So if they can do it 3 or 4 weeks in a row, yeah, Collingwood's game plan is back. But you need to see it regularly.
So you're tipping Brizzy.
I'm tipping Brisbane.
Here's a question for you both. Would they have had to have paid their, like, would they have had to pay for their own undies and stuff, the Brisbane Lions? Well, because they wouldn't have packed all these undies.
Club doesn't give you a clothing allowance when you
Yeah, but all of a sudden they've probably only packed two pairs of bombs and now they're staying for a couple of weeks. Would they have had
they wouldn't have packed many clothes at all.
I think they can afford to go and get some undies from Target.
I'd be a bit filthy if I had to go buy new bombs.
But they've also got they've also got club sponsors. So they're sponsored by Puma, I believe. So they
do undies, Puma?
They would have gone into Puma and got some tracky pants and some tops and all that sort of stuff. That would be free. But when you getting your underwear, I reckon they can sort it out themselves.
They can wash their clothes at the hotel too.
Yeah, but you know what it's like when you underpack and you run out of undies like a few days into a trip, and it's like, and then you clean them inside
Fraser
out.
Fraser Brown went on a footy trip once to Rio. The Carlton boys rocked up at the airport, and he had a Coles plastic bag, and the only thing he had in it was a toothbrush and his passport.
Tigers, Swans, Richmond very short here, $1.25. I actually don't mind that. I reckon they're going to absolutely brain them. Sydney, $4.
I don't know. I don't think they'll brain them. Sydney, I'm liking the way they're playing. They're kicking goals. They've kicked 17 goals in both of their first two games. Yeah. Look, at the MCG, Richmond, their defence is rock solid at the moment. I just don't think the Swans will be able to get through enough, but it'll be closer than those.
I've had a few people say what you said. I think it'll be closer. The thing that Sydney will struggle with, and they've got a long young players who probably mightn't have played too much at the MCG, is the width at the MCG. Yeah. Being able to defend the MCG of how wide it is.
Richmond defend it better than anyone.
SCG is quite tight, and they played the first round quite well against the Brisbane Lions, obviously. The MCG is so hard to defend, and if you get it wrong, you can get through very easy.
They've got pace, though, the Swans. Richmond have got pace. So I think it'll be closer than those margins.
I'll put this to you.
Richmond won to 39.
I was having this discussion with Wally. We were at the footy on Sunday. Richmond never put sides to the absolute sword,
do
they?
No,
they never.
Don't.
Once they get there, they just go into like a sort of a different mold and just lock down.
You know, they're not front runners. Sides. They're not front runners because they're not a side that builds on confidence and then all of a sudden they just absolutely hit top.
They just wear
you always
down.
Go. At 8 out of 10,
but would that
they
be
wear
a,
you down, and that's their game plan.
Would that be an instruction, though, once they know that they've got the game sewn up, that you don't have to just keep
That's just their game plan. It is just their game plan.
I don't think it wouldn't be any. You'd want to win by 10 goals if you can.
Yeah.
Well, there's a good betting tip. Don't ever take Richmond to win by over 60 points.
I think 1-39, Sydney's a good bet.
If they were ever going to beat a side by 60 points, like it was Hawthorn last
week. They know
their
game that well now. They can control games pretty well.
Last one we're going to look at, West Coast, Port Adelaide. The odds an absolute coin toss. Ooh. We've taken even money on both sides as well. West Coast $1.94, Port Adelaide $1.90.
It's in Perth, Optus Stadium. I thought they were pretty good last week, West Coast. Yeah. This was without Elliot Yeo and Luke Shuey. When they go in, they're super dangerous with their tall forwards, Oscar Allen, Darling, Kennedy, Liam Ryan. But I just don't think you can tip against Port Adelaide at the moment. To me, they do look like the premiership favourites at this stage.
Yeah, Port Adelaide for me.
Hermetheticals next. All right, a couple of two music themed ones.
I like it.
And a Reddit one, okay? Because you know we like to put the Reddit ones in that are just a bit more wholesale, a bit more, you know, they're a bit wider. Now, this, I'll go with the Reddit one first. Would you rather be the smartest person in the world or the dumbest? Whichever one you pick, your intelligence doesn't change. Everyone else's will. So which would you pick?
No, I want to be the smartest.
But that means if you're the smartest in the world, everyone else in the world is dumber than you.
So that means...
So right now, hang on. Could you solve cancer right now?
We'd have issues. We'd have no technology for a start. We'd have no...
Probably wouldn't have much of anything.
Nah, you're right.
Do you want to be the dumbest person
Oh, well, I don't want the world to go backwards because of me.
That's very noble. You're going to pick smartest.
The world's going to be a pretty... We're not going to go very far with me in charge.
I like your honesty. It would be nice to be the smartest for a day.
Richo's right. Wouldn't go
in
there.
It would be nice, like in Good Will Hunting, how smart he is.
Yeah, I know.
That's good smart.
And use it for good, like punting.
Yeah, exactly.
Make some good scratch out of it.
Find some
Okay. Would you rather see any movie for the rest of your life? So you can pick any movie in the world, but the only song you can ever listen to is Skater Boy by Avril Lavigne. Or you can listen to any music you want. So you can listen to Pearl Jam, your Radiohead, whatever you want. But the only movie you can ever watch is Sister Act 2, Back in Habit.
Oh, no. We'd still have TV to watch, though.
Yeah, would, but...
Yeah, I need to listen to music.
Yeah, music. I love getting out and just putting the headphones on and getting away.
So the only movie you can ever watch for the rest of your life is Sister Act 2, Back in the Habit.
That doesn't worry me because there's a lot of good TV series now and shows, you know, the streaming.
This is the last one. This is one I've made up. Okay, I'm going to give you $10 million.
I've given you money, Hum.
I do.
Well, where's this money coming from?
Where is it?
I'm giving you $10 million every year. January 1st every year, your bank account goes, whoom, whooshka, $10
like
million
go sounds
in.
Good.
That's a lot of Bitcoin. It's a lot of FET. But if you ever, ever hear the chorus of Living on a Prayer by Bon Jovi, you'll die.
All right.
How much of the chorus?
Say like the first three words of the chorus.
So if you're in
a shopping centre,
basically.
So obviously in your house you wouldn't have any devices that have got it on there.
So you can control the controllables. You're home. You don't watch TV or have the radio on in case it pops on. What happens now though? You go to these sporting events and the AFL's doing it. Crowd entertainment. What is it? Fan engagement.
Fan engagement.
Where a goal gets kicked and the chorus comes straight on to a song. You couldn't go to the footy or basketball.
I'm taking the 10 mil.
What if you're in a Triple M?
I'm going to invent a device that doesn't allow me to hear it.
What about though?
Yeah, that's you could have like a deaf, like something deafs you, deafens you,
deafs you,
deafens you.
So you wouldn't go to the, you wouldn't be able to go to the footy then.
Yeah, you would.
The chorus comes on straight after.
Yeah, that's right.
Put earphones on, mate.
Because if you hear that start,
earphones.
If you hear the start of it, you can run away. Yeah, but they're not. If you hear one,
how are you going to do your job on Triple M? You're resigning from all your jobs.
Well, you would have $10 million a year.
Yeah,
you
not. I wouldn't.
Smart.
I'm going to take the $10 million.
Smartest person in the world.
I reckon you'd get caught out. You know what would happen? You'd go to the pubs with your mates, and you'd have too many beers, and you just wouldn't realise it's come on.
Mm. That's your problem. Imagine that. I think you get those shitty light bands.
You know, you're having good fun.
If you're pissed, you can't hear it.
Hey, good luck. Enjoy your Easter. Hope the Easter Bunny comes.
Can't
if you're having a punt this weekend, please do so responsibly.
Worst answer I've ever seen, Brandon.